Welcome to Hollywood, Minnesota, the show that looks at the links between the land of 10,000 lakes and the motion picture industry. This show aims to highlight the way cinema is a part of Minnesota's artistic and cultural heritage through interviews with local filmmakers and film festival coordinators, as well as profiles of Hollywood figures with Minnesota roots. On today's edition of Hollywood, Minnesota, I will be speaking to Ingrid Moss, an actress, producer, and the CEO and founder of Moss Studios. Ingrid, thank you very much for joining me today.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me.
You know, you wear a lot of different hats, actress, host, producer, and CEO of Moss Studios. What led you to this industry?
Well, to tell you the truth, in eighth grade, I had known that I wanted to be an actor for a long time and wanted to be in movies. So I pursued the theater route for a while because that's what I could do when I was that age. And I continued that. And then 3 years ago, go back 10 years ago, I graduated college. I'm dating myself, but I had gotten into a casting director, to work for a casting director, and I really wanted to get into film. So I started getting into film and helping cast some big feature films and work behind the scenes on those. And from there on, I really wanted to do more film, but in the industry here in Minnesota, there was some that came in during that time. There's quite a lot that had come in. And later on, probably about 2001, 2003, it kind of slowed down a little bit here. So I went back into theater and just did a lot of theater work and musical theater because the theater scene here is so strong in Minneapolis and really good training to get the core and get the depth of the character that you need for film. 4 years ago, I decided I wanted to go pursue my love of film, and that's how I ended up where I am today.
So you had experience working with the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater in Los Angeles. How did you come to that group, and what did you learn from them?
Yeah, last year I went to L.A. to experience the life of L.A. and acting and get more training. And I went out there, and I had a roommate that told me, you know, she said, Ingrid, if you go to Upright Citizens Brigade, everyone will really love seeing that on your resume. So that's how I just really tried hard to get in. It's extremely hard to get in because it's always booked and always full. And one night I just said, okay, I'm going to try it midnight and just try it one last time. And I got in. So it was a two-month course, and it was twice a week, and just had a blast and really learned a different way of doing improv and different ideas and rules. And just it really freed me. And one of the biggest things that they say out there is just bring your unique self. And being your smart, unique, brave self. And that really sat with me and helped me a lot through a lot of auditions that when I was out there. And I just love that schooling and can't wait to go back and continue on.
As an actor, how was the L.A. scene different from the Minneapolis scene?
Yeah, that's I could go on and on about that one. The difference is that in L.A., there's an infrastructure set up where it's more of a business. Now, I'm talking more about the film than the television side. Because in Minneapolis is really strong in commercial work. In L.A., commercials, film, and TV, the whole gamut of the entertainment industry is there, and there's infrastructure and a business set up there. So that's why it's really different than here in Minnesota. There are, you know, over, 200 casting directors. There's way more agents, granted, way more actors. but there are, it's just, you could get training in anything that you wanted to get to. Let's say if I wanted to work on a specific niche in a specific area of my acting, I can find a coach or a class that will just tailor to that specific part that I'm looking for. And I have a choice of 100 different coaches, and casting directors will provide some classes for you so you can get to know them and you can get into the world of television and film a lot stronger there. And so as an actor, it really is the business there, New York, Vancouver, or London, England. Here in Minnesota, it's great because it's a great stomping ground to start your acting career if you're just starting out and get some really good training on your belt. And that because of the theater, you do learn how to grab a character and grasp a character a lot deeper and a lot stronger than if someone who hadn't had that theater training here. So that's a little different here. So here in Minnesota, it's a lot easier to make your own film. I'm guessing. I haven't tried out there in L.A. I'm working on a pilot right now with some groups that we've been working on for a year. So I can tell you in 6 months what it's like to do a project there. But here in Minnesota, I feel like you can really make your own projects, and people are really willing and able to work on projects with you, and they're hungry and excited, and they just want to make it industry here as well. And there is a movement of people here in Minnesota trying really hard and working, making some solid ground in trying to build an infrastructure here in Minnesota to bring more films here and also to make more films and for the world to see what we can do here.
Now, you've worked as an actor in a number of commercials for major brands like Target, Best Buy, and Honda. Tell me about the experience of working on a commercial as an actor. Is that different from, say, working on a short film?
Yeah, commercial work is a lot more upbeat, and you bring a lot of your own personality and your own self to them. Commercials are fun in that you get to come and you get to be mostly yourself. I mean, if they're looking for a mom, I'd be a mom. If they're looking for a professional lawyer or doctor, then I can be that as well. And that's a little bit more of the acting like in film. Basically, you're bringing a personality and you're bringing upbeat, because commercials are really upbeat and people want to be happy and watch you being happy. A film, depending on the role, is just a lot more in-depth. You spend more time on the character work and developing that character and the backstory and how the nuances with that character. And it is a lot longer filming, usually, depending on what role you have for film. So commercials are really fun to be involved in here.
You've been actively involved with the Twin Cities Film Festival. How did you come to get involved with that event?
Yeah, I volunteered for the Twin Cities Actor Expo. I take that back. I volunteered to the Twin Cities Film Fest and really had a great time working for them and volunteering and really doing all I could to help as a volunteer. And so one of the workers there, Naomi Dahlgren, she had asked me if I could work on the committee for the Twin Cities Actor Expo. And from there, then they asked me to work for the Twin Cities Film Fest and social media, because I had done that for the expo, and they really liked what I had done. So I just dove right in and started being social media manager for the Twin Cities Film Festival. And it's quite involved in that my job for the Twin Cities Film Fest is to make sure that we grow awareness through the web, and as well as events. So some people think social media is just the web, but it's actually not. It has to do also with your interaction with people in events and films and get-togethers and networking, and then you use social media as a tool to follow through and to find out information about the event or find out more about the Twin Cities Film Fest and to find out about each individual person that you just met. So social media is really great and fantastic for any business, actually. And it's just a tool. It doesn't replace all of marketing. It's a tool that is a really effective, strong tool for many organizations, especially nonprofits.
So since you're working in the field of independent filmmaking, how has social media changed the way filmmakers interact with the public and get their films in the public eye?
Yeah, this is why I love social media for filmmakers, especially independent filmmakers, is you get to have a dialogue and engage with people who might follow you or might be interested in your film. And then you get to see, it's a good measurement of where are we? Are people really paying attention to this film, or do we need to go back out there and get more followers? Do we need to engage a little bit more? And then also it's a fluid stream of information about the film. Websites are fantastic for if you want to get solid information and updates, maybe news flashes. But Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, all of those have real-time information and real updates that people can follow and watch. And as an independent filmmaker, you don't have to spend millions of dollars on marketing. You can just set up a Facebook page and a Twitter account and just be really active and do something on it every day, or at least four times a week, so that you can get a presence out there and reach a wider audience, and you can reach around the United States and around the world through social media, and that's what's fantastic. In order to get the greatest benefit, though, out of social media, you do have to put your time into it. And some people think they just set up a page and then people will come. That is not true. You have to put in, the more time you put in, the more you'll get out of it.
As you mentioned, social media is sort of a dialogue between the filmmakers and the moviegoers. So in the course of that dialogue, do you think that the films themselves get changed?
Oh, that's a great question. In the process of that, not necessarily, no. The film might change. Like, for example, some filmmakers say, here's a contest to help us decide on the title of the film. Now, that might change. But the core of the script most likely doesn't change because of social media.
So you began working as a producer of short and feature-length films. What led you to producing?
It actually started off with the film Coma, which I have a big announcement. It's now called Inconscience. Inconscience, it's a made-up word. Because I was tasked as a lead in that, and I had a lot of experience in working with big films and big blockbuster films. And the director-writer had just graduated from college in regards to filmmaking. And we tried it the first time, and I had some things didn't work out. So then I had asked if I could just get my hand, because I wanted to try producing and working more with producing. And I have an organizational communication degree and a business degree, so I understand producing is very strong in that area, in organizational communications and business. So I could bring a lot of those skills into producing. So I asked the director if I could help him produce that, and he said, definitely, we'd love to have you on board. And so that's kind of how it happened, is I basically said, hey, I really believe in this project, and I really care about this project. Can I help get it off the ground?
So Inconscience, formerly titled Coma, was produced by a Minnesota-based company called Red 23 Films. Can you tell me a little bit about what the movie's about?
Yeah. Inconscious is about a supernatural thriller that a husband and wife, newlyweds, extremely in love and really getting along, they get into a car crash, and the wife goes into a coma, and the husband has to make that excruciating decision of taking her off life support or leaving her on when she basically is not responsive. And throughout that decision-making, he is visited by an apparition that he's trying to figure out why this apparition keeps showing up.
And you're playing the wife in that role?
I play the wife,
Okay. How was your experience working on that as both a producer and as a actress?
Yeah, oh, that's a great question. As a producer and actress, as a producer, it's great because then you can get the inside information and you get to know the script inside and out. Not that you wouldn't as an actor anyway, but you get to see different sides of the script than you would as an actor. So that really helped me bring more to my role as an actress. It is a balance between the two, especially when you're on set. I learned that as a producer, you really need to have someone follow up and be a unit producer so that when you're actually on set, they can take over the reins for you as an actor so that you can focus on your own acting and bring the most to that role as possible. And so I learned that, and it's great to be a producer. I love producing and I love acting in the films because I get to see a bigger side of the whole story and bring a lot more to the acting.
There's sometimes an attitude among creative people. There's an aversion to the business aspects of filmmaking or any other art form. Do you find that the business aspect at all interferes with the creative work?
I don't think it does. For me, I have two sides of the coin. I see the importance of business, and I think in Minnesota we need to look at it more as a business. Now, I know some people might throw tomatoes at me for saying that. there are definitely those who are interested in just producing films that are more artistic and just an expression of themselves. I have chosen for me that I want it as my profession. And if you want it as your profession, you have to treat it like a business, and it is a business. And I don't think it interferes with your creativity or your own filmmaking stories. I think you have to tailor your stories and your own marketing to decide, how does this fit in this market? And how do I pick scripts that will help me show my artistic side as well as fit in the business side of people wanting to see these films?
So in 2012, you founded Moss Studios. What led you to form the studio?
Yeah, after actually Inconscious, I decided that, you know what, I really want to have my own studio. And I have been thinking about it for years, actually, that I wanted my own. I wanted to make, I wanted to have Disney here in Minnesota. So my goal was to, well, maybe I'll just start my own company here and just see how far I can go and really And also to say, to do scripts that I believe in and to tell stories that I really want to tell that aren't being told or that just have a special place in my heart. And I also formed Mosfidges because I wanted to bring more job opportunities for the filmmakers here because people are itching to work and they really do an awesome job and they work hard and they work as a team and people are looking for projects to work on. And I wanted to provide more jobs. I wanted to provide opportunities for filmmakers to be involved in a company that works as a business and is striving to look at it as a business as well as an artistic expression.
According to the Moss Studios Facebook page, the company believes in treating everyone with respect, admiration, and use each person's talents wisely. We aim to bring each project to a higher level and standard. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
The reason why we brought in Moss Studios and to put that into our mission statement is I was seeing that actors were not treated properly in the independent film world. From my experience as an actor, now I don't mean that people were rude or mean. I just thought that the actors needed to be treated more and be paid more. A lot of actors are just doing a lot of stuff for free, and I think you get to a certain point where you have to start charging people as an actor to get paid for your work and to say enough is enough. I am not going to be doing free jobs anymore. Now, you have to do that when you're a beginner actor in order just to get your name out there and to get networking and to get more experience. But there comes a point where you have to stop that and you have to move on and get better jobs. So at Moss Studios, I was like, I really want actors to know that they are loved and that they have so much to bring to the film and they have natural abilities and strengths and talents that they need to show to other people. And I really wanted to provide opportunities for actors to do that, where they're treated on set properly, that they come in as an organized set where you're scheduled in and you're scheduled out. And granted, throughout film, there's always going to be more time of waiting around. You learn that as an actor and a lot more. You know, there might be, you go 10 minutes over, but we really try extremely hard to say, okay, if it's going to be a 10-hour day, it's going to be a 10-hour day. We're not going to make you work 24 hours. Or longer than that. And I was just seeing that actors were being almost expected to be like, well, you need to be here for 12 hours or 14 hours, otherwise we're not going to hire you. So my whole point is that let's bring a business here. Let's try to keep actors paid for what they need to do. Even if it's very low, at least we're trying really hard to get to a point where we can pay you what you are worth. And that's our whole mission, is to try to get to a point where we can pay all actors what they are worth and what the, you know, with a standard in the union side of things would be, even if you're non-union.
That's interesting because there's been some press lately about the unions actually hurting the independent film scene. I'm curious about your reaction on that.
I haven't seen those articles actually or heard about that. I actually, from a filmmaker's standpoint, I have two different views on that. Producer's standpoint, it is hard working with the union because they do have a lot of regulations and they do have standards that you need to follow as a producer. Now, SAG and AFTRA, I have to say, are really trying hard to make it a little bit easier for the independent filmmaker so you don't have to jump through so many hoops and go through so many legalities. I did work on a film where I did work with SAG, and I had a great representative who really showed me how to work with the SAG and to help me with SAG. And I think as an actor, and then from the point of view, from the actor side of view, is actors, the union was created for a purpose so that actors could be protected and to get the producers to try all that they can to raise the money, to treat them properly. And so I don't see that the unions are going to hinder independent filmmakers. I think it really helps actors. I think it helps producers treat it like a business and work it as a business. And as long as we can continue to have free dialogue with the unions, SAG and AFTRA, and have them listen to producers and listen to independent filmmakers so that it makes it easier for them to go through SAG, I think that's where the key is, just open dialogue where both sides are listening.
At present, Moss Studios is being represented in this year's Cannes Film Festival with a short film called Rosie. What is this film about?
Rosie is a true case that was in the 1980s, And our writer, his dad actually worked on the case, and that's what inspired the film. The writer, the film is about a little girl who dies in a nearby pond, and the father sues the state for having that pond because the pond was due to construction that the state had done. And so it's just the journey of that lawyer who is for the state and the dad who is prosecuting the state. And it's their journeys through the whole process of their of Rosie dying in a nearby pond.
What kind of reception has Rosie garnered so far?
Well, a lot of people have really enjoyed the film. It hasn't been public, per se, other than Cannes. And we sent it to a very select few people just to get the market research done that we wanted from it. And we've gotten really high reviews and really good feedback from everyone. Really enjoying the film and seeing the top actors and the really cinematically done beautifully.
So your current project is Robert in the Bedroom. What can you tell me about this film?
Yeah, Robert in the Bedroom is it tackles Alzheimer's and the second and third stages of Alzheimer's. The writer, Cynthia Urich, she is very familiar with Alzheimer's. She worked in California for a while, and the person she worked with, her grandmother, had Alzheimer's. And the story is about the grandmother and kind of like the funny things that the grandmother would say about while having Alzheimer's, things that she would never have said if she didn't have Alzheimer's. So it was the devastating toll of watching her go through that disease from the second to third stages on to where it just grappled her mind and took over. So the writer, Cynthia, she really wanted to tell a story and to bring highlight and a voice to those who are suffering through Alzheimer's, as well as people who are watching loved ones go through this devastating disease. And we're hoping to really bring awareness and to bring some funding for Alzheimer's research so that we can help grasp this disease, because so many of us have family and friends that are devastated by it. Now, what I love about this script and why I decided I would co-produce with In the Moment Films was I love the story and the humanity of this short film, as well as there's a little bit of lightness in it, in what Lottie is the grandmother or the mother who is going through Alzheimer's, and it brings a little lightness of kind of calm. It's not comical, but it's that there's parts of it that's kind of funny and kind of cute, and then you feel the devastating impact at the end of how hard this disease is on everyone involved. And we have a great opportunity where people can donate $1 and sponsor a person who that they know that is suffering through this Alzheimer's, and they can put it in memory of their loved one, and we will put that on our film.
Last question I'd like to ask you. Mm-hmm. What makes Minnesota filmmaking scene unique?
I believe that Minnesota has so many different avenues and different artistic expressions. And because we're so strong at theater and the arts and as a community, we come together and really want to make films that impact others or just entertain, and really good quality films. I feel like Minnesota has really great locations and resources, and Minnesotans as a whole who aren't involved in the industry really support the arts, and they really support film and get excited about film here in Minnesota. And so what's unique about Minnesota, again, is just the community of it all and the support and the artistic expression that we can provide through our own stories and through our own resources here.
That concludes this edition of Hollywood, Minnesota. Thank you to Ingrid Moss for joining me today. You can find out more about her online at ingridmoss.com, and you can find out more about Moss Studios at mossstudiosllc.com. This program is made possible by a grant from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. I'm Nathan Wardinsky, and be sure to join me next week for another edition of Hollywood, Minnesota.